It is Monday, August 17th, 2015, and you are listening to The Kickabout. The Kickabout is the Nationals podcast focusing on football in the UAE, and it is part of the Extra Time series. I am your host, Paul Freeland, and joining me today is returning champion Paul Oberjerke, sports editor at The National. Paul, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Well, folks, the season is underway. Maybe. Probably. We'll come to that. So on Saturday, there was the Arabian Gulf Super Cup, which Al Ain won 4-2 over Al Nasser, the Arabian Gulf League champions beating the President's Cup winners. Now, the Super Cup raised the curtain on the season, as all good Super Cups do. There were two goals from new signing Emmanuel Emenike, the man who's supposed to replace Asamoah Gyan in Al Ain's lineup. There's a good assist by Ryan Bobble. Felipe Gabriel looked okay, and Omar Abdulrahman was healthy, which might be the most important thing. Paul, we'll start with your overall reaction to the game and any performances that stood out to you.
I thought it was unexpectedly entertaining. Six goals, wasn't particularly sloppy. The heat was punishing, and it was very humid as well. I think the feels-like, quote-unquote, temperature at kickoff was something like 115 Fahrenheit, which is, what, maybe 45 Celsius. But there were only a few patches where the game clearly slowed down and guys were trying to catch their breath. In terms of who was impressive, I thought Emenike was, though those chances were not difficult. I thought Felipe Bastos was perhaps the most impressive player on the pitch, the Al Ain midfielder. Set up a lot of things. A lot of the game went through him, more so than Omar, who was more kind of out on the right wing. And in terms of who didn't particularly impress of the newcomers, Ryan Babel was taken off after an hour. He just couldn't go any longer, and he didn't do much before that. Renan Garcia of Nasser was personally responsible for Al Ain's opening goal. Didn't have much of a match at all after that. And I also thought that Nilmar, the Brazilian forward, pretty much got lost in the match. He just disappeared for long stretches.
Mm. And now you mentioned Ryan Bobble. Al Ain coach Zlatko Dalic specifically called him out after the match that he, quote, almost stopped running, end quote. And that's in keeping with some of his performances during the preseason. I think John McCauley, who was also mentioned, one of our sports reporters, that he has been distinctly unimpressive. And with the transfer window open until October, there's no guarantee he's going to be here come the turn of 2016. And then afterward, Dalic also is surprising for coaches. He really opened up about, I guess, the criticism he faced after Al Ain's elimination from the Asian Champions League against Al Ahly last season. It sounded like he really took it personally, and he says he's not going to speak about it again. We'll see whether he sticks to that. But still, it was a remarkable insight into, I guess, just the humanity that goes that. I guess, lurks behind this game that you don't often see, as a good piece by our man Osman Samyuddin. Paul, you mentioned the conditions around the Super Cup. The heat and the humidity were just wicked nasty. And the kickoff, where the temperatures were in the mid-30s, that's mid-90s for our friends who use the Imperial system, and 70% humidity, and the Mohammed bin Zayed Stadium was a quarter full. And by almost any measure, that's a bad look for the AGL. But at that same time, you know, we should bear in mind that the league is making the best of a bad situation. You know, they have to wedge in 26 league match days, 8 for the League Cup, 4 for the President's Cup, plus the Super Cup, plus Asian Champions League and international considerations, and trying to play on weekends so fans can turn out in games. Between all that and the looming uncertainty over the Gulf Cup of Nations in Kuwait, which we still don't know whether that's going to happen this year or next, it doesn't leave them with a lot of wiggle room. Now, hopefully, if news emerges that the Gulf Cup really will be pushed back a year, the AGL will take a look at the schedule and maybe not take a month off when it doesn't have to do so. Now, we've seen this with England in the Premier League back in the 90s, and with more recently with emerging leagues such as Major League Soccer and the J-League. Paul, if the AGL wants to be seen as more professional and more of a world-class standard, as it's mentioned it wants to do, say in its encrypting of all matches on television, does it need to decouple itself from the national team and pursue its own interests first?
In theory, yes, it should pursue its own interests. In reality, the talent pool among the Emirati players is so limited that they almost have to stop the league season at least. They'll go on with the cup competition, but the league season pretty much have to stop. I mean, look at Al Ahly. Six or seven of their first 11 play for the national team. And it's just patently unfair to continue the league season as you would in other countries, particularly like Major League Soccer in the U.S. and then J-League, to continue on when you're missing eight of your first team. Al Ain would be very badly hit as well. So that's the reality of it. There's the guys on the national team, you know, 22, 23 of them, there aren't that many of them, and they're really packed into a couple of teams, which would be very adversely affected, and that could change the outcome of the title race. So I think that as long as that is the case, and it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon, they're pretty much going to have to shut down the league schedule whenever the national team is off playing.
Mm. And as we mentioned earlier, that'll happen. Even if there is no Gulf Cup, that'll happen a couple times during the first half of the season, because they have FIFA match days in, I believe, September and October for World Cup qualifying, which the UAE is a part of, and obviously being the next Asian Cup hosts, they don't have to worry about that. One of the developments during the offseason was news emerged that the Arabian Gulf League matches on television will all be encrypted. They'll all be pay TV. Fans will have to pay up or go to some venue that will be broadcasting, will be showing the broadcasts on some of the Abu Dhabi Sports or Dubai Sports pay TV channels. Paul, I guess just for starter, do you think this is going to have any effect on attendance? Will more people go out, or how do you see this shaking things up, if any?
I see it as pretty much a non-event in terms of attendance. There might be one or two people, you know, or a handful that will go to each particular match who otherwise might have expected to watch it at their home. I think the main part of it is the sense that the television rights for our league should have some value. Our product should not be free. And I think that's part of the reasoning behind this encryption of all the matches, because this is how it's done in most of the world. And there's been a little bit of a resistance to it, especially among Emiratis, because, as some of them have noted, this is how it's always been in the past, that not only was it no cost to go to the stadium, it was also no cost to watch it on television. I think people will get over that. I think up front, it could be something as banal as, I don't know where to call to pay my 19 dirhams per month, which is not much at all, to watch the league. And I think that could hurt it a little bit. I think eventually they will get some subscriber base that's significant, and I think they will drive a few more people to the stadium. But short term, I think it might actually harm the league a little bit in terms of who's watching it, whether it's on television or in person.
Other leagues in the neighborhood, like Qatar with the Stars League and Kuwait, and I think Iran does as well, they charge for tickets. Not a lot. It's a nominal fee, really, but it's a little. To show that, you know, the tickets and seeing a match in person has worth. Could you see that happening at the AGL in the near future, charging for tickets, or is that maybe just a step too far at this point with just the encryption facing the pushback that it does?
I think we will see that tickets, maybe not specific seats, since most seats don't have numbers in stadiums here. But I think there will be some nominal fee paid. Right now, there's logistics of you know, where would you go to buy the ticket, and then who would you pay, and do you have ticket booths here? And most stadiums, we do not. But I think, yeah, most people would be willing to turn over 10 dirhams, 20 dirhams. One of the things that was really interesting about the Super Cup was two days before the match, the league sent out a press release and tied specific fees to every seat in the stadium at Mohammed bin Zayed Stadium here in Abu Dhabi. And right there in black and white, for 5,000 dirhams, you can have a booth up in the television tier and, you know, bring in a bunch of your friends. And then it worked its way all the way through down to, I think it cost 20 dirhams to get in at the lowest end. That would be general admission. So I think that indicated that there is an idea out there that, yes, we do want to charge for tickets, and we have an idea that we have a price structure. And, from here to from the top to the VIP area to getting food with it to the another deck to the stands at each end, there will be something attached to it. And someday, yes, I see people actually paying money to get in.
And that could only help, both in terms of visibility and, I guess, even if it's just a modest bump to the bottom line, it certainly can't hurt. But as we do know for sure, this week coming up will be week one of the 2015-16 AGL season, and that starts on Wednesday when Al Ahly hosts Fujairah. And then Thursday, you have the two promoted teams getting their day in the sun, Al Shaab hosting Banias and Dibba Al Fujairah hosting Al Wada. And then Friday, we have everyone else. We have Al-Shabaab versus Sharjah, defending champions Al Ain hosting Al-Dhafra, Nasser versus Emirates, and Al-Jazeera versus Al-Wasl in what might be the tie of the round. Certainly goals aplenty on offer there. And after that, the league website has fixtures for the first half of the year. And then if news comes out of Kuwait that the month break in December isn't necessary, well, we'll see how things shake out. But, Paul, obviously it's really early doors. Only one set of balls has been kicked in anger. But what are your expectations for this new AGL season?
I think we're looking at two of the likely candidates are Al Ahly and Al Ain, same as usual. I think Jazeera could be decent. I think Al Wada, for the first time in 5 years, could be very interesting as well, because they have Javier Aguirre, the Mexican coach, and they've also brought in some interesting internationals. And I think that they are really making a push for the first time in a while. So I'm looking at maybe a four-team race involving the three Abu Dhabi teams and Al Ahly.
Well, that would certainly be great for folks around here, around National Towers. And we're here halfway in between Al Nayan Stadium and the Mohammed bin Zayed Stadium. It would certainly be great for us and great viewing, just for a four-way title race. That would be twice as much as we've had in recent seasons, versus last season when it was difficult for anyone to keep up with Al Ain. So we'll be back with you next week, folks, to let you know how the first week of the season gets on. You've been listening to The Kickabout. This podcast was edited by Marwan Al-Hamadi and produced by the National's Multimedia Desk. Follow the Multimedia Desk on Twitter at NSVUAE and the Sports Desk at NATSportUAE. I'm Paul Freeland. Thanks for listening.